This podcast is a production of 1217 Media.
Welcome to Package for Success, the podcast where glass ceilings come with ladders and success is part of the package. This is your go-to audio space celebrating the remarkable journeys of women leading the way in the consumer packaged goods industry.
For every episode, we're going to unwrap the stories of trailblazing women who are shaping the future of CPG. From groundbreaking startups to iconic brands, these leaders are innovating, inspiring, and they're pushing boundaries.
Join us as we dive into the strategies behind our success, the lessons learned from our challenges, and the insights gained from our experiences. Whether you're a budding entrepreneur, a seasoned executive, or someone who loves a good success story, Package for Success is your insider's guide to the dynamic world of CPG.
So get ready to be inspired, empowered, and equipped with the knowledge to forge your own path to success. Because here we believe that when women lead, we all succeed. So let's get started.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh my goodness. I am doing good. Yes. Welcome back to another amazing episode, edition of the Package for Success podcast. I am your host, Christian Sargent.
And I am Amanda. How are you guys?
It is a pleasure to be back here on the mic talking and sharing our thoughts and our stories and our journeys. And today's topic is going to be a good one,
yes.
A hot topic, because I told you about this a couple of days ago when I saw a post on Threads about influencers and content creators. Like, child, it is getting spicy out here.
I see that. I see that. I was looking. I'm like, wow, they're going for the jugular.
Yes. So today's topic is going to be one, if you are a business owner, if you do social media, which if you're a business owner, you're definitely doing social media. Now, you're probably doing social media independently on your own, posting, recording videos, taking your own pictures and posting those things. But for those who have, you know, outsourced their content creation, they partner and collaborate with influencers. This is a conversation for you. So if you want to, you know, delve into the world of content creators and influencer marketing, or if you're already doing it, we're going to have a conversation today about what that looks like, what influencer marketing is, who's doing it right, who needs some help, you know, what are the pros and the cons, what do your budget needs to look like, what are these collaborations actually bring to the table, and what should you be expecting from it? Like, what is the ROI from, you know, going into the influencer marketer world? So let's jump right in.
Listen, okay? I have a lot to say. I had, so of course, some great experiences. I feel like that's what helped get Yum Crumbs to where Yum Crumbs got, was through influencer marketing. But this was 4 years ago. So the time that I've seen the lapse is astronomical. Like, it's completely different and it's not the same that it used to be. So I'm grateful that we were able to get in when influencer marketing was a genuine thing versus the cash cow it is now.
Because that's exactly what it is. And I'm okay with people making money from what they do, right? It's kind of like the idea that your passion should be free. Like, you're passionate about your company and I'm passionate about mine, and ain't nothing about it need to be free. But at the same time, it needs to be reasonable and it needs to be mutually beneficial. So to give some background and you know, make sure everybody listening, our audience, understands, in case you're not familiar fully with it, influencer marketing, and I'm not even going to look up a definition for you. I'm going to tell you just layman's terms what it is, right? So influencer marketing is you using the influence of another person for the marketing of your product, of your service, of your goods, or whatever, right? So you have an individual, like, think of Tabitha Brown, right? She's an influencer. She has a community of people who trust her word, her insight, and she has the power of influence to have people spend their dollars, people to support the brand, people to make a purchase. Historically, we would just see commercials, right? Like you would just turn on your TV, would be watching your show or a movie or whatever. And during a commercial, you would see a brand's product. You would see a service, but you didn't know who was in these commercials and you didn't care either. You didn't care about what they ate, what they wore, where they shopped or any of that. And I don't know when the phenomenon of influencer marketing really hit. I think I can remember the 2019-2020 era. You know, like the influencer marketing really got bigger than any of us could ever remember, like where it started off, where people's authentic opinion started actually shifting other individuals' interests and determining what they bought and how they decided, you know, what was trending or what was actually important enough to spend their dollars on and to repost and to reshare and to tell their family and friends about. And so now we have it where you can be an influencer. I can be an influencer. If you post enough of your personal business, like people will be attracted to that. And then brands in turn use your community. They use your audience. They use your influence to market and to help people make a purchasing decision, to get people to commit to buying and trying what you have to offer because you like the person who said that they uses it too, or they use it too.
It was that authenticity that you were getting in the beginning.
In the beginning. Right. Yeah. Like the Bible, in the beginning, God made man. It was like that. It was that organic, authentic experience and connection with products through the person. But that has shifted somewhere along the line. And that's the conversation that we want to have today, because it's a very controversial standpoint. And it's almost feel like a standoff between influencers and brands.
Right.
Yeah. Like not even between consumers and influencers. Influencers and brands at this point are kind of going at it. And when we start unpacking this and talking about why, a lot of us are going to be able to see really clearly where we stand on either side of this argument. But to start at the most, you know, like basic foundation, that's what influencer marketing is. And to me, should remain using the power of community and your influence on the people that choose to follow you and like what you have to say. And I've always gone back and forth on influencers, though, because while I think they're important now, I look at it thinking growing up, our parents were so against you following other people.
Right.
You know,
making your own opinion on the subject matter.
Yes. Like if Jimmy jumped off of a bridge with you and your answer would be no. Nowadays, it's like, well, how many followers Jimmy got? Right. Because I might jump off a bridge with Jimmy. I don't know.
That's so crazy. My first experience with influencer marketing was probably back in 2016. But this was in as a consumer and in the makeup industry.
Okay.
So social media became and Facebook Live and stuff. You would see people reviewing makeup and doing like a full glam, like get ready with me, not as it is today, but it was just like literally in your living room on the floor, your kids are running around and you're just doing a full face of glam. And you're like more so tutorial, right? It was more so like, you know, how I got this cut crease, how I put glitter, how I did it like this and how I apply my foundation. And that's how I got sucked into the world of social media, where I was like just scrolling and following all these makeup people.
Okay.
And then they started to get recognition because as people were scrolling and they started getting views and likes, brands were like, oh, you know, when Bianca, Makeup by Bianca, who is one I follow since 2016, you've seen the shift from her, you know, living room floor to now she has a glam room where now she's in Ulta doing campaigns and now she's taking brand trips and now she's, you know, the face of different makeups like Morphe and has her own brush line. And you're just like, whoa, that transition, it was crazy, you know, because I think the brand seen the value of it because people were loving the authenticity of a mom putting on makeup with three children running in the background. You know, every mom wants to feel beautiful and glammed up. And, you know, But then once it starts getting staged and once it starts becoming more professional, right now we're in a transaction. Now you're going to post this mascara that you might not even care about.
Yes.
But because you're getting a paycheck for it, you're going to post it. Mm-hmm. And whether you like it or not, I'm going to be influenced to buy it because, Bianca, I've known you for, you know, you're a girl. I've known you for 5 years now. Right. You know, like, if so there, that's the shift I've seen, especially with makeup. But I was going to say, I wrote down a note, multi-level marketing. This is when we were first seeing the influence of product Avon, Mary Kay, where people will buy into the business, right, to be a consultant.
Yes.
And then the consultant goes and does demos and does this kind of thing. And then it influences you to go buy it. And now you sign up so you can sell product. And then now it's this whole thing where, and then social media comes in and now you're building groups and pages and you're gathering this and that's influencer marketing.
Absolutely. I never ever thought about MLMs, but they definitely are the OGs of influencer marketing. They are the, and they some real gangsters too.
Girl Scouts.
Them cookies. Okay. Them little girls and them cookies. Oh my God. The tray form. Oh my God. I want them so much, Jesus. Yeah, Lord. Them shortbreads. Girl, influencer marketing and knowing how to place specific people with certain things in order to get the response from the target audience and demographic. Like, that speaks so many volumes to knowing who your target audience is and knowing what the intended message and reach should be. So you get those people like, I don't know who came up with using little girls to sell cookies, but I can tell you right now that there's no way that Boy Scouts of America is selling equivalent of popcorn, baby. It ain't happening. No, them cookies, we wait for Girl Scout season.
Yeah. Okay,
people be on social media like, where is them girls at? Where are they? What are they out front of Walmart, Texas Roadhouse? Where they at?
Makeup brands, Hard Candy just did a collaboration with Girl Scouts to make their product like themed, like with the colors, smell like mint chocolate, smell like shortbread cookie. All that, packaging looks like Girl Scouts. It's so crazy because so it's like, I see the influence, let me jump in on it.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. The licensing though, like the licensing and the power of the brand that Girl Scouts is in order to even calculate in someone's mind to want to correlate that to their own brand for makeup. Undisputed. Influencer marketing is undisputed and it is beautiful. It is a beautiful thing to know that, you know, for all intents and purposes, everyday average individuals who are at their homes, like you said about the makeup artist sitting on the floor with children running around, that authentic connection, that authentic relationship that drives people to see everyday people like me, not a Maybelline model, right? Not someone in New York fashion using the mascara because we know they have to look a certain way for the runway, but I just need to look a certain way to go to the PTA meeting, right?
Yeah.
I just need to look a certain way for my date night or for brunch with the girls and seeing another girly, you know, that look like that doing it, bare face to slave face, you can connect and you can, you should definitely, in my opinion, be able to capitalize off of building that influence and having that community. But there's a very thin line between influencer and content creation. It's a very thin line because content creators don't come with the following or the power to shift, you know, or help people make a purchasing decision. And so Amanda, I know that you all use, you know, content creation, you have relationships with content creators. So can you speak more to what that looks like and what your expectations are with the content creator versus with an influencer?
Yeah. So we actually went through quite a bit of different content creators because one, I'm the kind of person, especially as we started building this company, I can't do it all and I don't know how to do it all. And I don't have the desire to do it all. Right. Kind of get exhausted at a certain point. Because you just got to put your aces in places and know your strengths and content creation wasn't one of them. And thankfully it didn't hold back our business, but as we were able to afford it, we went that route and we had a lot of different content creators and I love them all, but it was when one actually captured my vision on how I wanted the content to be created. Because But the crazy thing is, it wasn't that I had a sound plan of what that content creation looked like. It was more so trial and error. Mm-hmm. And then once we hit it, I was like, okay, I want the content to continue to look like that. So now I've been with one content creator for about two, maybe three years now.
Okay.
And I love her to pieces. And my expectations are just the videos. Mm-hmm. I send you product, you create it, I pay you very well, and you submit it in our Google Drive, and that's it. She's allowed to post if she wants to, because it's her, you know, I allow her to, like, you know, it's her content that she creates, so she can use it on her platform, but not for promotional reasons. It's not to promote us or because we have expectations that mm-hmm. her following is going to start buying it. We use it to run ads. We use it on our Instagram and social media pages, our website, our printing, mm-hmm. That kind of thing. So that's where our expectations are. Influencer marketing, I think at this point, that's what drove our business, was influencer marketing, but it wasn't content creating. Mm-hmm. It was literally an influencer using our product on a Facebook Live or just like UGC, like recording, you know, it was just like a user. I'm using this product.
Right.
I'm tasting this product. Oh crap. This product is good. Mm-hmm. You know, like here's the website below. Like, let's support this brand. That's how our influencer marketing went in 2020.
Okay.
And that's what catapulted our business, because this person was very well respected, had a great following, and was trusted in the community, you know, mm-hmm. but it wasn't a paid advertising. He never asked for anything for free. He never, asked for anything, any kind of payment.
Mm-hmm.
Do it. Yeah. You know, everything was just authentic, you know, right. He truly cared about our product. And then he, with the response he got, then it helped build his momentum too. So then mm-hmm. he was then going ahead and trying other people's product and giving an honest review mm-hmm. on it. And he just kept building that as their niche in the thing, you know, like,
yeah.
Hey, let me try these for you. And I'll tell you if they're good or not, if they're mm-hmm. worth having, you know, that kind of thing. And it just kept going like that. And he put on a lot of small businesses. He put them on there because people trusted the value in it.
Yeah.
But then I had other people that I actually did pay for influence because they had, you know, a few hundred thousand followers on Instagram or TikTok, and it was a complete dud. Mm-hmm. It didn't do anything.
Totally.
It didn't move, not a needle, you know, and it was like, you get a just burnt taste in your mouth. Like, well, mm-hmm. that was $1,000 that I could have used for a Facebook ad campaign. I would have reached more people, you know? So it's like, you waste a lot of money trying to figure out what's going to be authentic and what's not. But I don't think I let that stop me. I just think I was more cautious with it, you know, because then we got your Sweet Connection. She was an influencer for us. And my God, but again, that was authentic one. She purchased our product, but without us even knowing, and tried it and reviewed it. And we didn't even know. And all of a sudden we're seeing sales just like go up. And I'm like, whoa, what? It mm-hmm. got in the right hand. The Sweet Impact, my God, phenomenal influencer. Like, he is like top tier.
Yes.
And he reached out and he was like, and he was just starting out. I mean, before he even made it to where he was, and he was like, I would love to review it. The way he approached, I was like, absolutely, you know? And mm-hmm. so I sent it and it blew up. And he did the greatest videos. Now, do I have licensing or rights to those videos? No, I haven't. I didn't pay him for that, you know?
Right.
But his influence did help shift it. So people are like, oh yeah, I saw the Sweet Impact use your, you know, your product and it was great. And this is that. So it's like, there's some great influence in marketing, but it has to be where we go back to the basics of it, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that looks different for everybody.
Yeah.
Whose perspective is to make sure that it is mutually beneficial. And like, you got to have good character and you also have to have good intentions. And I don't think mm-hmm. that everybody always does, which probably does cause some kind of distrust in any space, right? On the brand side or the influencer side. Mm-hmm. Because you can have people that you pay, like you said, that can do the bare minimum, or they can really put all the effort into it, but it just doesn't do anything. It doesn't hit. But that speaks to a lot of different components, but the number one component that always comes to my mind before I engage influencer marketing would be, what is the community base? Like, what is the demographic that you reach? And if people don't know this, I don't think that you should even be considering yourself an influencer marketer or taking brands on. Like, don't take on opportunities and money if you know that that is not going to correlate well with your audience. If you do makeup tutorials, if you do, you know, get ready with me videos, do not. If I reach out to you because I see your number count, your follower count, and let's just be honest, there are some people who are not as cognizant of the information that we're giving. So you should not want every influencer to have your product. Right. Every product is not for every influencer. I'm not sending someone that does, you know, get ready with me and makeup videos my pancake mix, because that is not his or her audience. And so I would just be doing it to say that person got it. But that's not actually of a benefit to me to actually convert into followers or sales. So you need to be very aware of who you're sending your product to, who you expect. Like, they can post it because you paid them. But then when your stuff get, you know, a couple of views or likes, that is not the influencer's fault, because they're just going to make the money because they can. Now, a person of integrity, to me, the kind of person I am, I would be like, this is great. I definitely will post it in my stories if you want to send it to me. No payment needed. I'll, you know, try it myself and put it in my stories, maybe like for a weekend thing. But if you know your demographic, your followers ain't watching you cook, don't care about what you ate, what are we doing? You know, so you would have to have like some kind of weekend thing. Like, I'll never forget, we sent our product to Allie Love of Peloton. Hey. We sent our product. She does like a pancake weekend, like she did in 2019, 2020. She would like always show her pancakes on a weekend. And so one of our family members was like, hey, have y'all ever heard of Allie Miss Love? Send her y'all gluten-free pancake mix. And I reached out. She gave us her P.O. box and we sent it to her. And she did. She posted it. She posted it on her stories and she posted it on her grid. No payment, nothing. This is when influencer marketing, to me, was nicer. It was safer in these streets. Okay. It is dangerous out here now, folks. You sending folks a DM and telling them you want to send them product, good luck on being responded to, because people don't want to exchange product for posting. They just don't. And that's because people have learned that they can monetize, and it's no longer about being seen as an authority in the space. Like, what you said was really good about sending product and them not wanting anything back. That was when people understood the concept of, we're trying to build a brand and awareness, and you're trying to build a brand and awareness. You want other people to see this and say, oh, I can send him my stuff. Like, his opinion is trusted. He's an expert. Yes. That's respect, right? And then you can start saying, okay, yesterday's price ain't today's price. They don't know that you sent your stuff and he did it at no cost. But the next 10 or 15 people that do it, he may say, okay, it's $50. And they're going to be okay with it because they've seen the impact that it had on your brand. So that's when that kind of stuff is like mutually beneficial and able to build off of and leverage exposure. That's not where we are anymore. People are at the point where now that I have a following, I don't care if you get any money off of this, but pay me $2,000.
Right. That's where I'm confused. So I don't want to say I have a problem with it, because I know that we need to get paid for our time. And so I've always been, even when my content creator would give me her price, for me, I felt it was too low. Now, a lot of people will say that, but I felt like she was undercharging herself, and I knew what it entails. I knew what I'm not doing. Like, I know what I don't want to do. Mm-hmm. So I always paid her more, you know, and then she upped her price, which was great. And I'll pay that. It was when my thing is like, so here's where I don't understand. We're able to monetize on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, right? Where these multi-million dollar companies pay us for likes, views, for how much content we put out, all of that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And so for me, I think if I was a content creator, if I had that juice, it takes talent, goddamn, right? But if I could become a content creator for a while, I wouldn't charge brands, right? Because I'm like, more content, the more reason to make stuff, the more I don't have to think about what I'm going to post and post, like, get ready with me. I could actually get free pancake. I could get free toppings. I can get free mixers. I could get free trips for my kids, like anything like that on top of what I already do on my day job. Man, that's a bonus for me because yes. Now I have content coming. I'm going to record it. I'm attached. I'm networking with these brands mm-hmm. who are going to always think about me. And then I'm going to get views. I'm going to get likes. They're going to repost it to their following. So mm-hmm. I'm going to be noticed. Well, when I get monetized, when I get paid on the back end with like Instagram and Facebook and TikTok, you know, mm-hmm. So for me, $2,000 for a 30-second video. Now, I'm not saying people don't deserve that. Because, you know, who am I to say that? But for me, I just see it in a different way, right? Because I feel like going back to the basics of the influencer marketing, it was fun. It was mm-hmm. like so cool to see that you got a PR package. Like, you know, these mm-hmm. makeup artists had these PR packages that came in and they're like reviewing it. And some of them were, nah, it wasn't for me. Oh, this was great. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It was nice to see that. And they got a ton of free product, you yes. know? Like, I don't know. So I don't know. Where are you at? Because I'm trying to figure out how I feel about charging $2,000 to $3,000 to influencers, because as a consumer, can I trust that review?
It depends. And that's where it goes back to real influence and impact, because mm-hmm. the two people that come to mind, and I did a thread on this a couple of months ago, talking about what influencers are and what they're not. And the lesson that people need to learn right now, two of the top most influential people in this space will be Tabitha Brown and Keith Lee.
Right.
And neither one of them charge anything. Right. And both of their power and their impact is phenomenal. And we see how they have catapulted to the very top of influencership without, in my opinion, being greedy and mm-hmm. really making it to where the brands feel as if though their business is going to be made or broken because of these people. And right. when you have that kind of attitude, which to me comes off as entitlement, like, oh no, you got to pay me because I'm me. What? Like, let's take a deep breath here. Let's just do some math. Okay. Everybody pull out your calculators, Texas Instruments style. What is the square root of I started this company divided by your unmitigated gall subtracting audacity? Okay. What is that? What's the total? What's the sum? Like, it is definitely giving the square root of get out of my face. Because right. at the end of the day, regardless of if an influencer posts your product or not, you still have established something that other people can support, whether they post it or not. You mm-hmm. actually were in existence. Maybe it was, you know, not making as many sales, not, you know, attracting as many customers in a day or whatever, but you still had something that was considered viable to bring to the market, whether or not that person or these people said anything about it. Now, that to me says, I still have a reason to show up for my business, mm-hmm. whether an influencer posts it or not. So I cannot give you the power, which none of us should be giving power over to anyone else over whether we see value in what we create. But when you have the mindset that if this don't get posted by these kind of people, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, then you don't really have a strategy, do you? You really don't have the intent, nor do you have the drive to make it work without these kind of influencers. Because right. there are other people, there are electricians, there are beauticians, there are nail techs that have been able to do what they do successfully without an influencer ever posting them 15, 20, 35 years ago. And right. so we have to start understanding that this should be respected on both ends. Like, we not as I scratch your back, you scratch mine. But let's respectfully understand that you wouldn't have a product to review if I didn't have a product. Right. So let's not break the bank and tear down relationships that could actually be leveraged. You can be in national campaigns as my brand girl. I want to see you grow. So if right. you start with me and I'm paying you $125 or I'm paying you, you know, $200 for a post or whatever, you shouldn't have a problem with that if you're able to get 15 or 20 people to pay you that in a week.
All right, listen.
Like, come yes. on. But when you yeah. try to get the whole hog at once off of me, not caring if I made that back, Tabitha mm-hmm. Brown does not care if she gets 5K to put you on Very Good Mondays, because now she's where? She's everywhere. She's Target, right? She's on a whole tour with the third best-selling New York Times bestseller book, because that's sewing. And I understand that that's not everybody's ministry. Let's be very clear. I'm not saying to do this for free, but heart posture matters. And I think that we've gotten separated from that. Building a community that people trust, building a community that is authentic and transparent in who you are as a person. Tabitha Brown can post about makeup, earrings, food, or clothes, and people are going to follow each account. They're not just following her for vegan food. There are people who aren't even vegans that love her.
Oh my gosh.
That is power. Keith Lee, this man talking in a car, no studio, no, you know, no Uber edited videos. This man is zooming in and out of his forehead. Okay. Like, it just be the most randomest of shots in a car, because that is the intent, not for you to get distracted by other things, but I want you to focus on the food. I want you to focus on this restaurant. Go show them some love and support. Hey, I may not like it, but it may be for you. Go ahead, give them a try. That's it.
Right.
And he moves on to the next city. So much so now where people are reaching out to him, like, please come. Like, they would pay Keith Lee. People would pay Tabitha Brown, but they don't want it. And you want to know what happens now that they don't want it? They don't need it. It's not even needed. Even with them doing what they do at this point for free for so long, even if they monetized it, Amanda, it would just increase the level of their star and their power, because it is worth it. And so I think that if people in the influencer space got back to wanting to just be of help, like be of assistance, like let me have a servant mind for the brand and realize that the brand is going to be like, dang, I really want to see this person blow up.
Yeah.
Like I want to push my brand more and post your stuff more often, put you in my email blast, right? Like as I grow, you grow. I'm paying you something, right? But coming at somebody and saying, like you said, a 30-second video for 2K, 3K, and you're saying, well, I had to spend hours working on it. Let's just do the math. Someone with a degree right now is not making $3,000 for 4 hours of work.
Right.
A doctor, a lawyer, a first responder, a teacher did not make 3K for 8 hours of teaching your child. And you're telling me a video that you shot with the ring light in an overhead camera deserves such. So we gonna have to break it down.
Yeah.
You know, and as a brand, if I cannot expect to make 3K in sales from posting this video, what is the real reason I would return here?
That's the part I don't understand, because we're not seeing the return on it. I've seen it, like, again, like I said, like even like with Keith Lee, he's making money on the back end. I don't know this man's pockets or anything like that, but I'm sure the bulk of his income is from TikTok, from, because he's monetized on all these platforms. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know for sure, so that's just speculation. Okay. But I feel like if you are monetized, they get, you get, well, I know for TikTok, I see some influencers talk about how they'll get like $1.20 for per video for every 1,000 views. So you have people that are making, seeing this video for 50 million views or however many. That's some pretty nice, hefty thing. So I can see where he's leaving $5,000 tips and sowing seeds, because the abundance that comes on the other end, and that's just so dope. And but like I said, even with all, the only time I've seen influencer marketing work was when they supported our business and shared it. And that's how we would see. Like, I knew when Jeremy, when K-King, when he would post anything, like back in the day in 2020, it's different now because I think his following and our following kind of like mesh now. Like we have the same kind of people that follow. But when he would first post about it, I would just see a number of like shoot up in sales. And I'm like, must have posted, you know, and I'll see like a tag and I'm like, that's so crazy. And I will always show gratitude, you know? And he will always say like, I don't need anything. Like, you don't want to like, let me send you money. Let me do this. Let me do that. And he's like, no, like, you know, you have a great product. I believe in your brand. And I think that's why he's successful. I believe that's why they're, like you said, that's where their success comes from, because they're not nickel and diming businesses. They're seeing the opportunity behind it.
Yeah. And the intent, like the heart intent is everything, because we're even in business because we believe that what we have to offer will make someone else experience better. Like, we're not in it for selfish gain. Yes, you want to be compensated. Yes, we want to be able to pay our bills, pay our employees, you know, keep our inventory in stock, all of the things scale and grow. But at the core, we created what we did because we felt like it was going to make something better. You desserts, pancakes, cakes, batters, all of that, it was going to make a baker's experience and a treat maker's experience elevated. And indeed, it has done that. So you have served their need. You have changed the trajectory of their business, their brand, their offerings, their innovation, and their creativity can now be leveraged and increased because of what you did. Same here. If I want to make an inclusive product that people who may not have been able to enjoy pancakes up until a certain point because of dairy allergens or egg allergens or whatever the case may be, because everybody else is doing something one way, so that everything is convenient for a certain group of people, now everybody can enjoy it and have the same quality, consistency, and that experience that brings tradition and great memories to the table. Okay, that's serving a need. So none of us are in this because we just think, oh, it doesn't matter who gets it or what their experience is. I don't care if it's nasty when you get it, just pay me. That shouldn't be the attitude. So when it comes to being an influencer, and in this space, you kind of want to build that trust with the consumer and with the brand so that you become that key person that people are like, if this gets in their hands, I know it's not just going to change our company's life, but their community's lives, right? And then the people on the other end of that, which is the influencer that says bigger brands are going to see you. And maybe they'll have the budget for the 5K or to fly you out for a bigger campaign. But for smaller businesses or businesses that are may not be considered small, but they're not at billion-dollar level, you have to respect the fact that they're still growing just like you are. And you can't just want to eat up the whole pie from a person and leave somebody with a pan, like, I hope, you know, go refill it, you know? And it's just those kind of things to me that I feel like we've kind of gotten away from the values of it. And when you see people like Tabitha Brown and Keith Lee, it's kind of refreshing to say, this can be done. And when you grow it and when you realize the power and the impact, not just the influence, but the impact of what you do, like the restaurants that literally have lines out the door that can save their business and be open more days because of that.
Right.
You can't tell me that that man don't go to sleep smiling at night.
Right.
Like, come on. Absolutely. And even when there are, you know, when there are darts thrown with people complaining, you stick to your mission. You don't switch it up. You stand on what you know. You stand on business. And he be standing on business. When people say things, have attitudes, are upset, he don't back down.
Respectfully. Reed is A1. Like, we ain't bothering nothing over here.
No.
What you need to do is calm down.
And it's very simple and direct because when you know what your purpose is, you don't ever have to fight for your place. So that's what I definitely see in operation over there. But we can get into the threads of it all because at this point, so we've talked about what we expect, like ROI, like what that looks like when you set your expectations with your content creator, when most influencers, you know, they may or may not know their data. They may or may not know the analytics or what their conversion is, but I feel like that's at your own risk. If you engage with an influencer that cannot give you numbers and data from a last campaign or what conversion was, you don't know what you're doing and they don't know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And you don't really have an expectation level set. So you want to make sure you get those key components in place when you go to an influencer or they pitch you, that you ask them, what are your conversion rates? What have you seen as far as engagement? What have you seen as far as following? What have you seen as far as orders and community? Like, did your people care? Did the brand after give you a report showing that they had an increase in website traffic? Any of that? If they didn't, then we may want to start at a different level. You know, do you have any data on brands like mine? If you only work with makeup brands, then we shouldn't be having a conversation about potato chips.
Right.
Like, do you have any case study or anything in your portfolio that would show? Because even when you go like to a web designer's website or a marketing agency's website, they're going to show you portfolios based off of, in case studies, based off of certain kind of people, maybe a logistics brand, you know, maybe a brand that has a CPG, has a product, maybe a service-based business, you want to be able to see, okay, what did their website look like? What did their logo look like? I don't want to work with somebody that's never made a food brand's logo, because I don't know, like, what character may look like, colors, design. Is it going to look boxed up? Or, girl, it's just so much. But you have to make sure that the receipts are there, the data is there, and you're not a guinea pig. That's all I'm saying. Don't learn on me.
Please
don't be taking your first round, your first circle around the track with my brand and hoping that it works out. Because at that point, if you say, I've never done a food product before, I'm really interested. Okay, well, give me, I ain't never really done a food product before, price. Because we can't, we cannot be out here waiting for unicorn results. When you've never actually tested this, this is an untapped market for you. When I repost it, it may just hit for me because it's my product in use. You know what I'm saying? But if I'm coming to you because you have a million followers, but you always post shoes and cats, I don't understand what we're talking about.
Right.
So make sure that you're doing those things. You're doing that research. You're asking the right questions. And it is a good connection between you and their community, for sure.
You look at Usher. Mm-hmm. Usher doesn't need any introduction. He don't need not a damn thing, right?
No.
He's set for life. So they say, hey, Usher, we want you to do the halftime show. Mm-hmm. Did Usher say how much you paying me?
Mm.
No, right? Mm. Usher knew just the Super Bowl platform, right? And it goes both ways. You know what I mean? Like, I get it, but his tour sold out. Mm-hmm. His record sales went up, his popular. And now I'm not saying that every brand is going to bring that to an influencer. Not every influencer is going to bring that to a brand. But I think if we go back to where it was in the beginning, it can, like you said, building that relationship and building that value stays there. Because at the end of the day, what converts is the consumer. Mm-hmm. So if the consumer can, if the brands are good and treating influencers right, and influencers are treating brands right, the consumer then trusts, I feel like authentically, like you said, with Keith Lee and Tabitha Brown, it's authentic trust. You know, Keith Lee has no motivation, no incentive, not motivation, but he has no incentive to go and give a restaurant 10 out of 10, you know what I mean? Or, you know, 6 out of 10. He's giving it raw and good. No money involved, no nothing. So consumers are like, I trust it.
Yes.
Let me try it. And food is crazy, right? Because everybody has a different palate. What Keith Lee might like, somebody else might dislike. And that's okay. You're in a food space, right? And with a lot of stuff. But it was, it was properly influenced, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And knowing that, I like how at the beginning of each of his videos, he'll say, like, we spent $46, you know, like, whatever, like, letting people know, this was not given to me. I didn't even go in there because I didn't want them to put no razzmatazz on my shit today.
Right.
Make it like you normally make it. So when I eat this in the front seat with my seatbelt on, I'm going to tell you what I thought about it. Like, don't do anything special. Be who you are, like, present as you always do. And that is, to me, the incentive for the brand, for the restaurants to always come with their A game. Right? Like, if I suck in my fulfillment time, if I suck in my customer support, but then I choose, like, as soon as I find out, oh, okay, so you gonna feature me? Let me make sure I ship this fast and I respond to emails.
Perfect example. What happened in Atlanta Gate, right?
Oh my God. That's what really actually blew him up even the more. I didn't know, I had never heard of Keith Lee, didn't know nothing about what he was doing until that happened, when the word got out. Yes, until Atlanta. Like,
where are you living?
Girl, in my phone over on Darius Cook's page. I was watching an influencer, all right, but it had a different energy with it. This was definitely different. And seeing him, and I just started going through all of his other videos, and I'm like, he don't seem like a problem. Like, he's unproblematic. Like, just within watching three videos of him, I was like, okay, ain't it? Who are these people in Atlanta again? And then, of course, with Candy's situation, and just seeing that his standard of doing it was consistent. Like, he follows a model. He operates the same way every time he goes somewhere. And what really stuck out was him saying, if these people have been waiting in line for hours, or they have a 2-hour wait, don't move me up. don't make a table available for me and my family because I don't even eat at tables. I sit in the car. So you're trying to prepare a place for me when these people are ready to spend money with you and they don't have the following and influence that I do online, but they do in their sphere of influence with their family and with their friends.
Right.
So you should care about all of our influence. Right. And that speaks volumes to how people, they know how to, well, their perceived value is different. And it's crazy because every day people should get the same respect and the same, you know, red carpet treatment as a Keith Lee, which is an everyday person. So it's like you said, it's always going to be something, you know, that we'll be able to look at and say, okay, I get it. I get that perspective. And I get you wanting to treat him extra special to get great reviews in March because you know what that'll do for your business. But I feel like rightfully so, if your business is already out the door, candy, you know, I've gone to OLG. I can give you my review too, right? But I don't want to. That's not my thing. We're all food critics, to be honest. We're food critics at our table. We're food critics when we go to McDonald's, when we go to Chick-fil-A. All of us do it, but you don't get flack for it until you start making that your public notoriety point.
Right.
And that's why you have people like, well, who is he? He ain't even a real food critic. And you telling me the man from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives is?
Right.
I mean, you're a food critic to whoever you're a food critic to. But my kids are food critics. Your children are food critics. So we're all learning, but that influencer piece is definitely, it's another level. So on Threads, if you all are not familiar with what Threads is, it's like a nicer, more legible version of Twitter to me. I can never understand Twitter or X.
I can't
do it. I don't understand. But Threads is a place where you can share your thoughts, like start a conversation or dialogue, and then other people respond to it and keep the conversation going. So like think of like an email thread, you know, or think of a chat thread with you and your family or whatever, but it's just online public. And people can respond accordingly. So I was very shocked when I was scrolling through Threads a couple of days ago, and I saw that people, well, influencers are out here getting paid net 30 and net 60 days on content that they're creating or campaigns that they're a part of with brands. Because I'm like, dang, anybody I've ever worked with, I paid them as soon as or before delivery took place.
Right. I would have loved a net 30.
Sis, I was like, let me come up with these campaigns real quick and go on out here and pitch. Because if I can get the work done and then pay you after I get paid from the sales and the influence, to me, I love it. But this is where it comes in, where you don't know what you don't know. Because as brands, we don't know that we can be out here pitching to influencers full campaigns and the deliverables we expect from them and giving them a 30-day time to get paid for it, right? For the campaign to run and make money. It makes sense.
We get it. As a CPG product, when I give my stuff to Michaels, I don't get paid for 120 days. Upfront labor, upfront packaging, upfront everything. Because they need to sell their product so they can, because these POs are not small. These are not, you know what I mean? So these are six-figure POs. So they need to make their money back. So I totally get it. If influencers are going to be charging $25,000 for a 30-second video, give me some time to see how this is going to work. You know what I mean? Like, can we have a pay scale where if the mile markers are this, you get paid this? Because, again, it has to be worth it for the both of us.
Absolutely, Amanda. And you can't gauge that. You can't determine that that's going to happen just off of you putting it in my Google Drive. Like, it's just there between me and you until it gets out there to the rest of the world. So you have to give me time to work that ad. You got to give me time to work that content. You got to give me time to like really do some of the things like repackage it or repurpose it, if you will. Okay, well, we posted it on our social. Let's do an email blast with some of the still images. Let's post a blog post with some of this. Let's run an ad campaign on this. Let's run a sales campaign around this. Let's throw it on Hulu shit. I don't know. All I know is give me some time to make something back off of it. And so you think about it in all of the terms. And so when I saw this post, it reads from African John. Okay, I'm going to give the name in case y'all want to go look it up yourselves or follow this individual. And it's John with the W, okay, as if though you're from Baltimore. It's giving very much PA energy. but okay, so start Philly. It's Philly. Philly. They say John in Philly. Okay. So start to pitch for yourselves and post other type of content. And do not ever accept net 60, like ever. You can negotiate to net 30, or if they're doing net 60, they can pay you half upfront when you submit the content and half when the payment is due. I've been independent for some months now, and I'm using a different strategy this year, and it has been working. If you need some tips, sis, I'm here. Okay. So from reading this post, that's when I was like, wait a minute, who doing net 30s? She was telling people never to take net 60s, which to me automatically made me start the paragraph over again. Cause I'm like, wait a minute, net 30s are available. Y'all ain't told us this down to the brand pitch. Like, wait a minute. I could have definitely did that. But to know that that's even what they're dealing with, which lets you know that there is a standard in the industry that is not spoken on. And then when you start realizing that people are making this their livelihood, it makes sense now why they charge as much as they do, because they need that money to stretch if they're in between campaigns that are on net 30s and net 60s. I need 3K from you, sis, because my next 3K ain't coming for 30 days, right? Like, so they're trying to stagger it to where it actually makes sense. But to me, I would be okay with getting 10 or 15 $300 posts in a week. Because I'm getting my money sooner. $300 is a lot easier to pay out immediately than 3K is for a small business or a growing business that has their workflow capital caught up in a lot of different areas. Because again, like I said, I'm still running a business even after you post this.
Right.
You just post it and walk away from your phone. I have to still buy inventory, pay employees, right? Pay overhead costs for buildings and lights and insurance. You got your 3K and walked away. You don't care if I make anything off of it. Mm-hmm. So you have to just, again, be understanding. Even a job, when you first start, they don't pay you for 3 weeks. You don't even come in on a pay, especially if you come in on a pay period. They expect you to wait, work that first week. 2 weeks from now, you're going to get another check.
Absolutely.
So you're technically working for a month sometimes for corporate America before you get paid, and you don't have any problem with that. You go in there and do the work, knowing and expecting your money eventually, but still showing up and doing the work with the same, you know, care and the same quality as you would if you gotten paid up front. So to be honest with you, if you want this to be your full-time job, you got a 2 week wait for your first check.
I can date it.
How do you feel about like net 30s and net 60s for influencers?
Yeah. So like I personally, I can't stand it on our end. Like as a CPG brand, I can't stand our distributors. And I don't want to say I can't stand it because I do it, right? I love it. I get paid, right? I don't have to chase people down for money. But I see the turmoil, right? Because you have to pay all of your employees. And this is not just one or two people. This is, you know, 10, 15 people that you have to pay to produce the product, to package the product, pay your vendors, do all this stuff. Your overhead, all that stuff has to get paid. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you hope that they pay on time to get that going. If not, now you have to be a bill collector, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, I don't like the model, but it is one of those necessary evils that we're kind of in already.
Right.
And so, because I get net 120s or net 60s or anything like that, then it would help when I can net 30 my credit card, you know, right? My credit card statements, I get paid, you know, I have to pay 30 days later, Uline shipping, you know, my Cisco deliveries, things like that, because they can give me net, then I can give the people net. And so if we're going to work on this net account receivable account payable, like I literally have a whole department for account receivables and payables. But in the beginning, I couldn't. In the beginning, I just could not. I needed all the working capital. Like, I need all the cash flow. I could not.
Yeah.
I submit the invoice. You submit a PO. I submit the invoice. You pay me. I get to work.
There you go.
Now it's not like that. So I guess it just depends on where you're at in that influencer marketing thing. But for that, though, I would think it's not just influencer. You have to be a content creator. So I don't want just you posting it on your social media. If I'm paying you in 60 days later, I need to be able to post it, like you said, on all of my platforms. I need to be able to use this good content with your face, with your brand on it. I need to leverage your influence on this so I can make a return on my investment, you yeah. know? Because other than that, I don't want to say, oh, you know, I don't want to do it for clout or for just saying that somebody had it. Like, I want to say, not only, like, for let's say for Michael's, yeah, it's a game changer to say I'm in Michael's craft store in their baking section. But if I'm not making any money off of it, then what's the point of even being there? You know what I mean? Yep. So it's great to say we're in Michael's. I can tag Michael's in all our stuff and I'm getting a nice paycheck from them and mm-hmm. it's selling. That is where I think then it's worth it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if we are going to go there, have you heard of Summer Rain? She's an influencer, yeah. content creator on TikTok and stuff, but she does both. So she's in high quality at both too. But she just dropped a course.
Okay.
She dropped a course on content creation and how to book brand deals.
Okay.
And she just posted that this is your friendly reminder to record the content. Even my kids are getting $25,000 brand deal offers. This one is for a 30-second video that I'll record and send directly to the brand. I don't even have to post it. You need zero followers and get these type of deals. You just need good content. I provide a list of companies who do these types of deals in my content creation course. Now, it goes on to say, you just sign up for the campaign. They send out a product. You make a video. If you're picked, you get paid. If not, at least you got free stuff. When I first started off, I got a free bed, makeup, skincare products, purses, clothes, etc. It's a win-win. So here's someone that sees it, right? So she has high influence. She's definitely on TikTok. She got a million followers. Her engagement is crazy. She does like stock my fridge videos. Like, she's popular. So I get it. I get where she's putting her price tag, right? Because she's put in the work. But she's put in years of working for free. Like she just said, like, it's either I'm going to get free stuff. Mm-hmm. But you see how she says you submit it to these brands. And if they like the content, then you get paid. I could dig that.
Ooh.
Send me all the content. Let me see what you have to offer and what you can, what influence you can show the company. So I'm probably down with that. 20, 30, 40 different videos that I could be like, you know what? That's the kind of content I want to promote as a brand. I'm going to pay you for that. If not, you see,
it's the thing of being okay with doing like some kind of lottery system like that. But then when you have someone offer you the product in exchange for a video, you were willing to do it not knowing if you were going to get picked.
Right.
You took the time to make the video and perfect it as much as you could to be noticed and still get the same outcome.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I think that it's a psychology game. Mm-hmm. It's a game. It's a pick me industry. Let's be abundantly clear here, which again makes me go back and forth with it, because it constantly plays on your mental of am I good enough? Is this good enough? Are they going to like me? Are they going to respond to it? And that's why you see so many people, and this may have to be like a part two of what the algorithm is doing to people's mental health, because at this point, girl, people are out here feeling lower than dust particles because they're not getting the reach or the engagement, or they're not being shown or whatever. And it's like, but if it was worth it and powerful and valuable enough to you when you created it, have that same energy about it when you put it out into the world, right? Like, your value should not be determined by how the algorithm plays with it. Because you're good at what you do, and you know that you're good at what you do. Even if it's suppressed, you still know that your worth is according. But hearing that and seeing that that person, Summer Rain, she's able to do that and pull that in, I think it's great. I think that's phenomenal, amazing. But think about the people who will never have even an iota of that level of success. Because God forbid she submit her video in the same stack that you did. Like, Summer Rain out here giving y'all these listses, but if Summer is going out for these same campaigns, baby, you might want to send your stuff to me. Okay. I'm gonna pick you. All right. I'm gonna pick you. Like, come on. So here's my resolve, right? So as we bring this to a close, because we like thinking about community, I'm big on community. And I've kind of started turning the ship, like mentally, about influencer marketing and content creation. When we started, we were like huge on UGC, user generated content. That's like how we did our thing, and reaching out to influencers, and literally was for free. It was, everybody loves pancakes. We would love to send you some pancakes. You post it, we'll reshare it, send you as much as you want, right? And they bit, like they did. And it was great. It was really good. Nice. Now, and then too, in the beginning, a lot of customers were sharing their posts, sharing their plates and their pictures and recording their kids. And I'm like, this is so dope. Like, I ain't even asking these people to do it, and they're doing it. And then like, you just start realizing like, dang, if people genuinely are this excited to receive your product and whip their phone out, I know how hungry I be when I'm done. I ain't taking out nothing. I ain't taking out no phone. Okay. A fork in my mouth is what I'm taking out. But to know that people cared enough and did that, that elevates the experience for everyday people scrolling by to see what somebody else cooked, to see what their plate looked like, right? It's not perfection. It's not the camera, you know, with the perfect lighting. That was authentic and that was beautiful. And it did help us to grow and build hype around what we were doing, because there are a lot of other pancake mix brands out there. So you really do have to have that differentiator in the market, but also the feeling and the connection of how that experience is going to be for them. So now, present day, I'm thinking, I'm like, okay, well, yeah, I don't mind increasing like the content creation budget and outsourcing some of this stuff. But I'm like, we're also starting to get more of an influx of customers posting their videos again and posting their pictures and DMing them or tagging us. And I just like, send them a message back and ask them, can you send us the original? We love to repost it and make you a collaborator, because they've already bought the product. Right? They've already cooked the product. They've already recorded them using the product. So at this point, it's a bonus for them to have the brand that they've supported that did know them last week. Now you want to repost my video? Yes, absolutely. Here you go. Now you've literally done your own UGC marketing. You know what I'm saying? Like, it may not be perfect lighting, whatever, but it is real. And you don't have to worry about putting a sponsor tag at the top of it, right? Or whatever that may look like, oh, I don't want to trust that, because she got paid to post that.
Yeah, I have a good example. So we follow Super Scent, and she has the crayon case, right? So my best friend, so I mentioned makeup. I'm a secret makeup artist. I don't I love to like do glam makeup, right?
Okay.
I don't do it often, and I don't, you know, but it's one of those, I don't know what you call it, like vices, like just something to get away, right? If I'm stressed, you go do some makeup. But anyway.
Okay.
So of course I have damn near probably everything that Super Scent created. I was the one that helped her get to a million on her Black Friday sale, right? So we had the crayon case, the mega crayon case. And it was my best friend's birthday, and he wanted glam. So I did this fierce-ass look and did, like, rainbows on his eyes. And we did, like, one of those little skits with TikTok, like, with the songs. You know, I ain't never been with the baddie, right? So we did a little transition, all that stuff, right? So we posted, we tagged her, crickets, right? So the following year, we shared it again, tagged the crayon case, and she reposted it. When I say he was like, we were like elated. Oh my God. We felt like, mama, I made it. Like, it was the best feeling. Did she pay us for it? No, but she recognized it. It was just a great feeling to be recognized by a brand that you're going to support regardless anyway, that, you know, that you got their back. So, so that just reminded me that story of what you were just saying.
And it's everything. Like, it is so much to just be able to show your product and use. And Amanda, you have a lot of this. I mean, like, you have a lot of this, right? And so whether you're seeing your stories or ever on your grid, either way, it makes it to where, just like we talked about earlier with the influencers doing products in exchange for posts, it does. It builds your authority. Like, oh, dang, they're sending him stuff. Like, he must be legit. His word must actually matter. And then it reflects well on the brand when you post it to show, dang, other people are using her product. Maybe I need to try it too. Oh, this is how it's used. Okay, let me elevate my strawberries. Let me elevate my cherries. Let me elevate my grapes. Whatever the case may be, it's mutually beneficial. So then you have people who are already buying your product, they're already committed to it and they know how good it is. And you repost that and it's like, I ain't paid them to do that. They're a customer, like another loyal customer enjoying Yum Crumbs. Boom. Yes. What does that say to the people who aren't customers yet? Convert. That says, dang, she got different bakeries every week that's making treats. Yes. And you can be doing this too. I have all kind of different families coming to the table for these pancakes every Saturday and Sunday.
Every Sunday. Listen,
you got it. You want to see, what am I missing out on? Like, okay, I didn't get good. I've had so many people post and say that I had to see what the hype was about. I had to see for myself if they really was good. You think I'm going to be like, no, don't do it. Don't spend your money. No, come find out. Right. Like, test me. So it's okay to start prioritizing people who are already prioritizing you. It's okay to get back to saying, I appreciate, I value, I see you. Like you just said, how it made you feel, that the face you had already done, you were already committed to the beat. Right? But deciding to share that with that brand and then repost it, it just elevated your love for the brand. It just elevated the fact that they saw you. Like, they saw the tag, they saw the post, and they was like, we finna repost this. Because it's a good look.
Yeah.
It's a good look. So there is nothing, by no means, that says that all of us does not have the power of influence. We all do.
We all do.
But what matters is who you decide to elevate because of their influence. And we're hearing more and more about micro influencers, people who have 1,000 or less followers, 5,000 or less, because they have more people that may see their content that they know. They have more people, you know, who may trust them or be friends with them or may be able to ask them, like, is that really good? Okay, girl, yeah, I saw you was using this. Let me do it. That's how I have a couple of items in my house, because I see my sister post certain utensils and things on TikTok. I never call her, but I'm like, if LaToya using that chopper, it's a good chopper.
Right.
So let me go get the chopper. And I do. So you have to understand that micro influencers have just as much power as what we would consider macro, people with millions. That might do that. And then let's not also forget, once you get those influencers to post to you, please know and understand that you now have their followers. You now have their community. So you need to post content that will mirror what they followed you for.
Absolutely. Right?
Don't start posting kittens and rainbows or quotes and memes when that ain't what I came over here to see. Show me what made me follow you. Show me what made me, you know, a part of your community. Don't switch it up and start doing different things, because then that's inconsistency. And then you're not really building a brand. You're just collecting people. So,
yeah.
Any closing thoughts, Amanda, on any takeaways? Because I know we touched on a lot of different things, but I feel like it will be good enough and powerful for people.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm going to say, like, listen, if influencers are listening, if brands are listening, let's go back to the basics. Let's stop overcomplicating stuff. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, going back to the basics has proven success for so long. So I've always been like that. That's how I've always approached my marketing. I can't say I'm like with the new fads and stuff like that. And building that community, like you said, I think that's like the best thing. So if we could go back to the basics, I think we will all be able to win for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. And we can see a change between you and me, okay? Let's do this together, because we all want to win. And I think that we can do that. So thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of Package for Success. Wherever you listen to your podcast, like it, subscribe, and we cannot wait to meet you guys again for more Package for Success.
Can't wait till next time, guys. Thank you so much for listening.
Bye.
This podcast is a production of 1217 Media.